The Border Wolves by Damien Hunter and read by Andrew Kingston for Saga Egmont. Prologue. Samai Zegatusa. The King's Palace at Samai Zegatusa occupied the top three levels of the complex that rose up over multiple terraces atop the holy mountain Cogaionum. Decabalus, warlord of the uneasily allied cities of Dacia, sat in its lamplit council hall and prepared to bargain with the German.
"This is not as many men as we agreed."
Decabalus was a young prince with an aging father and the look of a man who intends to sort the world to suit himself. He had a heavy, straight brow and a square jaw, with curling hair, a brown beard, and a mouth half hidden under a moustache. He wore a richly embroidered tunic, loose breeches, fawnskin boots, and a cap made of a red fox's fur against the cold of the mountain winter. A gold bracelet of many loops, ending in horned beasts' heads, covered most of his left arm. His brother Diegis sat to his left, watching silently but with a certain cat-like interest. The German regarded them unmoved.
"It is all that we can spare. We are not many after the last war, and I have no intention of tempting another one in my own hunting runs. The last one served its purpose, and the Romans have stayed out of the free lands. I brought you these to show you how the Romans fight, not to be spear fodder, as we agreed."
Ranvig, chieftain of the Semnones, lords of the German free lands, was not as finely dressed as the Dacian prince, but his shirt, breeches, and wolfskin cloak were of suitable quality for a chieftain, and he wore a heavy gold torque around his neck. His pale hair spilled over his shoulders in two thick plaits, rather than twisted into a knot at the side of his head in the fashion of his inherited tribe. Ranvig had been of the Nicretes before they had gone down before Rome, and their remnants scattered to the Semnone lands. Afterward, Niall Sigmundson of the Semnones had been taken by Rome. The council and the remaining kindred, two of whom sat beside him now, had spoken for Ranvig to lead them, and if they wanted him, they had been told to take him as he was. He had an odd, crooked face, his blue eyes set slightly askew, and his front teeth also crooked, which gave him a wolf-like aspect. When he smiled, which he was not doing at the moment, his mouth slanted up farther on one side than the other. Decabalus wondered how much further he could push him. The Semnone lands were a substantial distance to the west, north of the Rhenus. It was not somewhere he could express his displeasure at the end of a spear. A slave appeared with a pitcher and five silver cups, and Decabalus nodded at her to fill them. It was Roman wine, very good, and not cut with water as the effete populace in Rome drank it. He took a sip and waited as Ranvig inspected his cup, possibly to see if there was anything else in it. There wasn't. That would have served no purpose.
"We also agreed that you would see that your kinsmen, the Quadi, and the Marcomanni give us their support," Decabalus said.
Ranvig contemplated him for a long moment.
"The warlord misremembers. I said that we would urge them not to help Rome against you."
"They are one and the same thing."
"They are not!"
Arni snapped. He half rose from his chair beside Ranvig and glowered at Decabalus. Ranvig gave Arni a look, and he subsided.
"Nor will I trade more men for the Dacian bride that Duras the king offered me last night," Ranvig said. "I have a wife."
"Duras is old, and he drinks,"
Decabalus grinned.
"I am keeping my sister to persuade the Getae to finalize our confederation. Although there is a younger one. She is only 10. But such an alliance would not be a bad thing. We will be a great empire, greater than Rome."
"No."
Ranvig considered that a permanent alliance with Decabalus would be an appallingly bad thing. He was glad that he was not the king of the Getae.